It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen to KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
And welcome to Speak Out. It's Monday, November 15th. 2021, already the middle of November, Jim. What in
Amazing.
The world?
Amazing.
It is.
It is.
It is. The days get shorter and the nights are getting long.
Oh.
Right?
That sounds like a song.
It is. It is by Triumph. Fight the good fight by Triumph. Very first words. All right, welcome to the show. I'm Paul LaVoy along with brother Jim Russell. And Jim's favorite day,
yes,
to translate into English.
El Día de los Jefes.
That's it. He got it right today. So we've got Police Chief Dan Doyle in the house.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome, sir. Are you surprised at the Fighting Knights, by the way?
Not at all surprised.
No.
We got great athletes.
Apparently we do. So, and Fire Chief Pete Palafis also here. Hey. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Have you heard the big news about Lake Havasu High School?
No. What's the big news?
We host the first round in the state 4A playoffs. We don't just go to the playoffs.
They're hosting. Good
enough to host. That means you're in the top eight.
Nice.
In state 4A. So they host the Canyon del Oro Dorados. And looks like a pretty evenly matched game, if you will. So we've scored a lot more points, you know, as far as points scored and defense and points allowed and that sort of thing.
So
they're pretty even.
What is a Dorado?
Like, that, I don't,
as a mascot, a Dorado.
You know, I thought it was a fish.
Yeah. Fish doesn't sound like a very appealing mascot.
No. I thought it was like a swordfish.
Yeah,
I thought it was like a swordfish, but on their mascot logo, it looks more like the Michigan State Spartans.
Oh.
You know, so I don't know.
Like a conquistador?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, something
maybe that's
like
it.
That?
Yeah.
I like knight better.
Yeah, fighting knights.
The fighting knights.
The fighting knights.
Yeah.
So the big news, I'll actually be calling that game on Friday night.
Oh, wow.
Starting at 7, the Knights taking on the Canyon del Oro Dorados from Lee Barnes Field. That's on Friday at 7. Steve Greeley will not be calling the game. It'll be myself and Bill Beckman. And then at 8, the Suns will come on the FM against the Mavericks. So we'll be going, actually at 7:30, the Suns will come on with the pregame. So tune over to the AM or KNTRSports.com, and you'll have no interruption whatsoever. And tonight is Monday Night Football. I know Jim was waiting on this
one. Yeah.
Bated breath, but it's the NFC West rivals, the Rams and the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be a good game,
yeah,
especially with some of the new personnel the Rams have on board. That's a 5:30 pregame on the sports station, 94.3, 100.5, and 980 AM. That is not streaming, by the way. That game does not stream.
Maybe a better game than the Cardinals yesterday?
Whew. Well, I'll tell you, when Christian McCaffrey plays, you got to be careful.
He's a stud.
He dominates.
That guy's a stud.
He was great in college at Stanford. He's great in Carolina. And, they're all talking about Cam Newton, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, Cam Newton, okay, is Cam Newton. But without McCaffrey making those runs and what he did yesterday, you know, even the Cardinals radio announcers just pretty much called it for McCaffrey the whole game.
You know? He's definitely MVP on that game.
They looked really good. The Cardinals just didn't look prepared for that style of offense. So, anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. And we're going to switch from sports over to police and fire, and it's still a hot topic is the vaccine mandates. You guys didn't get the questions in advance this time or the topics.
Yeah.
So
what would you like to know, Paul?
Well, let's kind of recap what we talked about last month, because that was our lead question last month was with the vaccine mandates. Where's the department on this, your department and Chief Pete's department?
Well, it's not individual departments. It's the city overall position, and the city's not mandating any vaccines for city employees. The state just issued state OSHA, which basically we're guided by the state OSHA, and they've basically issued a statement saying that, they've not mandated us to do anything at this point. So that's kind of where we're at. But the city's not put any kind of mandate or any requirement on any of its employees.
Interesting that you say that, because there was a we had a caller on Friday when Ron Gould was in. They were talking about the hospital, and the hospital is mandating employees to be vaccinated. And they had a big demonstration about it last night, big community gathering in front of the hospital, apparently. And I guess that's the individual company's decision there. So you're saying the city, because OSHA is not mandating it statewide?
So I'll actually read this verbatim here. It says, Arizona is one of 22 OSHA-approved state plans that have exclusive responsibility for the development and enforcement of occupational safety and health standards within their states. So under that, the state, it says, until such time that the Industrial Commission takes formal action to adopt all or part of the vaccination ETS, the temporary standards are not binding or enforceable against Arizona's private and public sector employers and employees.
Oh, very good. So any business that does that, it sounds like, Jim, would do so on their own.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now you might have something about a pending federal mandate for that?
Yeah, there was a stay put on that. I think
OSHA.
The 5th District or what have you has put a stay on that. There's so many different lawsuits on it, but I think some organizations, obviously, if they receive a considerable amount of federal funds, are probably concerned about getting cut off from federal funds. So I think, as well as, you know, some people, they're organizationally can have a belief that this is what the best thing to do. So
I imagine the medical profession is such.
Yeah,
is
and I don't want to speak for any organization on what decision they make, but so far the city. The city is not mandating or requiring vaccinations of its employees.
Interesting. Are you doing any type of testing, Chief Pete, of employees before they come to work, if they're sick? What's the policy on that?
You know, like Dan says, at this time there is no mandate. We're not doing any testing. If you're sick, stay home. I mean, that's where we're encouraging. Just like any time, like if you had the flu or any type of sickness, you just stay home and take care of yourself and your family.
You know, it's funny, Jim, how a pandemic tells people that are sick to stay home, right? Because it used to be people would tough it out and come to work. And I don't want your germs. I've always been that way. I'm the guy that used to, 3-4 years ago, wipe down the shopping carts, you know?
it changed our perspective, where in the past, when somebody calls in, I'm not feeling well, it was like,
stay home.
Sure. Stay home. The rest of us will work harder. Now we're in a position where somebody calls in and they're not feeling well. I was like, hey, good, stay home. So it does change the perspective a little bit.
Right, exactly. All right, so holiday safety. I wanted to get to that a little bit because you've got Thanksgiving coming up, not this week, but next week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Week. Already.
The time does fly, doesn't it?
De los dos turkeys.
Turkeys don't.
What is it? De los dos turkeys?
Yeah. Dios.
No, that's Dios de
las.
That's today.
Dios de turkeys.
Nice, nice, one. Nice, one.
Awesome,
nice.
Good
one.
Job, Jim.
Yeah, a little zing.
Wow, it's just hard to believe that it's not this Thursday. It's next Thursday.
It is
so
incredible.
A lot of people like to deep fry turkeys, yep. Chief Pete. I don't know if that's a big thing in Chicago, but it's kind of a big thing here.
Sure.
A lot of people get the deep fryer. They get the, what is it? What kind of oil is it? Do you know?
I don't know.
The peanut oil?
Yeah, it just depends on what.
It's good oil.
It's good. It's the good one. What's bad for you? That's
yeah.
The good.
Right.
Not but, grain oil.
But yeah. What, do you have any experience, Chief Pete, with any of your firefighters in the past or presently responding to incidents with deep fryers? And what are the dangers there?
Sure. Well, some of the dangers of this deep frying is just the hot oil. The proximity of where you're putting the fryer in association of combustible materials. I mean, the recommendation is at least 10 feet away. You're going to monitor it, make sure the kids, pets are away from it. I mean, you're using a cooking vessel that's getting hot oil up to about 325 degrees. I mean, it definitely has some catastrophic effects on fire and burning you. So the thing is, I try to say this is just use common sense, but if you don't know how to cook, research it. Go to YouTube. But the thing is with deep fryers is making sure that you don't put too much oil in it. Make sure you heat it up away from anything that's combustible. Have a multi-purpose extinguisher, not water. Please emphasize not water, because obviously oil and water does not mix, mm-hmm. and you can cause a bigger fire. And the thing is just use common sense. Make sure your turkey's thawed out. Basically put it in slowly. I think I've had deep fried turkey before. It's good tasting. It's obviously a little bit quicker than putting it in the oven like the old style, like mom would. Takes a little bit shorter time. But the thing is, you just have to use some common sense when cooking. And obviously avoid consuming large amounts of alcohol while you're cooking, because your judgment will be altered. So there's where it comes some problems. But it's definitely another method way of cooking. But anything dealing with wood fire can cause problems.
Chief, do we have much of a Havasu history of problems, holiday-related problems?
You know, I mean, I've been here 18 months. I mean, last year it seemed like it was a lot of people were home because of the pandemic, and it didn't appear that we had any fires that were related to mm-hmm. cooking vessels or anything. But, it does happen.
Does the holiday season bring more public emergency calls, non-fire?
You know what? No, I think it's pretty much as steady as normal, but we just might have an influx of more people that are in town that could, you know, obviously if they're not well and stuff, could cause for
so
that
just
demand.
In proportion to the population,
yeah.
Not holiday-related.
No, but, I mean, during holiday there are some hazards with, you know, obviously holiday decorations, making sure mm-hmm. if you have a live tree that you keep it watered, making sure that you don't overload the extension cords when you're putting up your holiday decorations. But with the new technology, with the LEDs,
yeah.
they are so low voltage, it's wonderful. So I think we've come a long way for safety, but it's always that good reminder of making sure that you practice good fire safety tips, and making sure that your smoke detectors work, make sure you have, if you have extinguishers at home, and make sure that you're paying attention to what you're cooking.
Jim still uses the C9 bulbs both on his yeah. house and on his tree.
That's why his electric bill's so high.
Those big old colored bulbs. And
they screw in.
Yeah. Put more than one string and it trips your circuit
the
breaker.
The C9s. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I remember when I was a little kid, I mean, we used to take those and pop them on the concrete and stuff.
Chief Pete, I'm going to show Chief Pete a picture, and it's called, it's a can of suppressant. It's called Fire Gone, Stop Fire Fast.
Sure.
And I spotted this. It was like, I have a very small kitchen
yeah.
in a condo. And I spotted this at a local store, and it was like clearance priced. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and I checked the date on it. It was good for about another 4 or 5 years. and it's 16-ounce can, easy to use, fast, clean, and safe, if you want to call after a fire clean, right?
Sure.
So, but mostly just in case I had, you know, a grease fire or a kitchen fire.
Uh-huh.
Would you recommend something like that in place of a fire extinguisher that you can get at quickly?
You know what? I just rather use a multi-purpose extinguisher that is approved by UL. It's already safety. You already know what the content is in there. A dry chem is probably one of the best for kitchen fires. And the thing is, I mean, Paul, just don't cook and go out so you don't have to worry about it.
Right. I got you.
Get a girl.
Just go out.
Yeah.
Go out. Shop local.
Yeah. Shop local.
Eat local.
Local. Go out to the local businesses.
Did you hear what he said?
So that was the long way around saying, Paul, you wasted $5.
you know, that what you paid for it? $5.
It was clearance, man.
So you
had a big yellow tag on it. I'm like,
bet your life on a $5 fire extinguisher.
You know, at least it's a stopgap.
But
I can take the pan outside.
You need to put
outside.
A halon system in your condo.
Okay.
Are you going to remember when a fire occurs
yes.
that you have that?
It's right next to where it needs to
then
be.
Then perfect.
Right next to the fire?
No, right next to the liquor.
Yeah.
that's what I was going to say. It, right next to your hairspray?
Yeah, that's right
just
next to the...
Just be careful you don't...
Right between the bourbon and the rum. There you go. All right, let's take a short break. I'm not kidding, by the way. Back with more in a moment. We'll go out with some. Since you have seniority with the city, I'll start with the Bob Seger. How's that?
That just sounds bad when you say senior.
Well, you kind of. I said seniority.
Oh, okay. I just heard senior.
Well, yeah. At your age, you would.
Yeah. I am eligible for the discount.
All right. Song that reminds me of Mackinac Island in Michigan, believe it or not. I had a friend that lived there over the winter one time. You've been to Mackinac Island,
haven't you? I've been in the Michigan area, yeah.
Right. Where the fudgies go to get the homemade fudge. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell, Chief Dan Doyle, and Chief Pete Palafis on this First Responders Day. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Right, welcome back to Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, the Lewis team, Coldwell Banker with team leader Bobby Lewis, Julie Lewis, Brian Vesely, and Lori Rule, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springberg Wealth Management, the Better Business Bureau, and by Kevin Barbarita and Barbarita Realty Consultants with over 35 years in the Laughlin community, located in the Laughlin Town Center on Needles Highway. Visit their website at LaughlinNevada.net.
And they're good folks all. You tried to trick me there. They just want a shot at your business. So when you give them a try, folks, remember to tell them you heard about them on Speak Out. And while I have your attention...
How did I try to trick you?
Well, you didn't finish your normal...
Oh,
there's on them.
In red is not...
Yeah,
that's
see?
The part about
see,
the archives and all that. So yeah.
But while I have your attention...
What's that?
I want to mention the Havasu Art Guild.
Yes!
They are having their holiday shop and show coming up here. It'll be Saturday the 27th and Sunday following. It'll be from 8 to 4 Saturday, 9 to 3 Sunday at the Aquatic Center. It's free admission.
Mm.
It's a great show and sale of all of the wonderful work that our local and very, very talented artists do. And, of course, amongst those... local and talented artists are my wife.
See, that's the whole purpose of the PSA, Chief,
yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
The whole purpose of that PSA is to keep his housekeep privileges, all
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right. Give Sonny a little pitch.
And he's got such a great radio voice. He just lulls you.
Just, that's right.
No announcement, no housekeep.
I want to draw them all out to the Aquatic Center. Again, that's Saturday and Sunday.
This
Saturday,
coming.
The 27th.
Oh, Thanksgiving weekend.
Post-Thanksgiving, yeah. There'll be a raffle also. Raffle items are donated by the artists.
Right.
And the benefits, the raffle benefits, the many giving things that the Art Guild does. This one is for the Art Student Scholarship Show.
Okay.
So, Havasu Art Guild's free holiday shop and show at the Aquatic Center.
Right, right. Sounds like someone was trying to reach us in the office, and now they're going to try this phone, which would be appropriate since I'm not in the office, right? Mm-hmm. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yes, I got for the fire chief.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. You're cutting out a little bit. He's got a question for the chiefs.
Yeah, concerning the fire at Black Bear.
The fire at Black Bear? Yeah. You're stealing my questions.
was that a hood fire, and does anybody inspect that stuff? I'll listen on the radio.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Bad connection,
hey,
by
thanks
the way.
For the call.
No, that's a great question. So the fire that occurred at Black Bear, what originated in the kitchen area? We did have a suppression system that did contain it, but we still had active fire. But it was our investigators determined it was undetermined, but we at least know where the fire occurred in the kitchen area. They do get inspected. We do have inspectors that do go out there and check the hood system on an annual basis and to make sure that it's working properly. But right now, it's unfortunate that it did cause some smoke damage and some damage with inside that they'll have to get clean up and unknown, you know, what they're taking actions to get back in service, but it is missed, and hopefully they can get, you know, back up in service as quick as possible.
Chief, the those hood systems are Halon systems, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
So they're incredibly effective at extinguishing the...
Either extinguishing or containing it. Uh-huh. But here's the problem is what associates with fire is smoke. And we did have some smoke damage that went through the entire restaurant that it definitely has some causes of damage. So
sure.
I'm just glad no one was hurt. Everybody got out. Material things can be replaced. So that's the blessing there. But...
So with a fire like that, do your units come and do they roll out the hoses and?
Well, for grease fires, we'd use a different agent to put it out. We're not going to put water on a grease fire or in a kitchen.
No
so,
foam either.
We have foam.
Can you use foam
yes,
for that?
We definitely have foam or dry chem. And the thing is, we reduce the damage as much as possible. But I mean. The system at least contained it, and it originated in the kitchen area.
Very, very fortunate that fire was put out. I don't know the history here, but if you know the history, but in Bullhead City, their Black Bear burned to the ground.
I'm
not sure if that was a similar fire origin.
Yeah.
Very fortunate that the Black Bear is still standing.
Yeah, no, it is, and it's good that we have a quick response. Our fire department does an excellent job, and we mitigated the situation. It's just the aftermath.
Quick.
Yeah, the
they
aftermath.
Quick.
Oh, I know. That was the first thing I thought of was, oh, no, not another Black Bear.
Yeah. When did the one in Bullhead burn down?
A few years back, and they rebuilt it. It's been completely rebuilt, so it's still the Black Bear Diner.
Yeah, they have great breakfast.
Yeah, but it was closed for a year or so. So what's the typical timeline for reopening a restaurant that's able to open after a kitchen fire like that?
Well, I mean, there's so many variables with that, Paul. I mean, that's a tough question because it just depends on a lot of factors, you know.
Okay, well, let me ask this then.
Yeah.
Is there another inspection after a fire like that?
Oh, 100%. There will actually be permits to do the demo, to clean up. The health department's involved. The city's involved. So it's just not just the fire department. We will make sure that it is operating the way it should, and it's just going to be a process. And it just depends on how long it takes for the adjusters to come out and that entire process.
Yeah, it was amazing, Chief Doyle, how many fire engines were there. Your units were on scene. There was obviously an incident at the Black Bear Diner when that happened. You could see it from our offices.
Well, nobody wants that place to burn down. Like I said, they have great breakfast.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
And then they have the senior-sized meals for guys like us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Those plates are just obscene sometimes. So, all right, let's go ahead and take a short break, but they do have really good tri-tip, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Now I'm starving.
I'm getting hungry now.
All right, let's play some Journey for Chief Pete Palafis. And I was fortunate to hear the whole story at Kiwanis when Chief Pete was one of our guest speakers. Man, That was a crazy story.
Yeah.
Talk about a wing and a prayer, you know. You come out, you do the interview, and then you don't hear, and you don't hear, and you're, well, I don't know. I don't think I got it. And then you got it.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Glad to be here.
That's always good to, when it turns out that way, isn't it?
It is.
All right. And Chief Doyle, well, we're stuck with him, so.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
We love you, Chief. That's all there is to it.
Was I supposed to say I love you, too?
No, no, but I like the stripes, man. What are each of those for?
4 years.
4 years each?
Yeah.
So what are you going for there, 10?
No, there won't be 10. There won't be 10.
All right, back with
that's
more.
That's 10 moment. Stripes, not 10 years.
Yeah, I understand. That would be 40 years. Yeah. For 40 years for 10 stripes.
Yeah,
but there's close to it.
That would make me 50 years old when I retire.
Yeah, okay. That would be counting explorers, right?
Yeah.
All right. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul LaVoie along with Brother Jim Russell. You're listening to Speak Out. Give us a call. 854-KNTR, 854-5687. Back with more in a moment. All right, we're back on Speak Out, brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Connected Computer and Technology, Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, SunPower by SMA Electric, SamsGuns.com. Have you seen Sam Scarmardo's guns lately? His guns? The gun show? No?
No.
No?
What are we talking about?
He's been working out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
SamsGuns.com?
Yeah.
Sam Scarmardo, he's been working out. So, yeah. Watch, he's got guns like Pete now.
Wow.
Like Chief Pete.
Yeah.
Also by Herb's Herbs and Thane O'Brien was spot on. The preferred technology partner of the Arizona Restaurant Association. Call Thane at 928-706-2784. Send an email to T.O'Brien with an E at spoton.com. And don't forget, we're streaming our archives on the Lake Havasu City app. That's available at Google Play and Apple iStore. And I want to give a congratulations to Riverside Chief Operating Officer Matt Laughlin, who got the CAA, the Community Achievement Award for Citizen of the Year from the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce. They'll be the guest on Speak Out 2.0 coming up after the top of the hour. We'll have Jackie and Val from the Chamber, and I'm sure they're going to go over all of the winners from Saturday's Community Achievement Awards. So, anyway, back with Brother Jim Russell.
Yeah.
I don't even know what his first name really is. I think it's Brother. Brother Jim Russell,
uh-huh.
Right? JVR is what I call him in my email, because then it finds his email for me automatically. We've got Chief Dan Doyle and Chief Pete Palafis from the police and fire departments, and somebody took my advice and dialed the phone number.
Okay.
Can you believe that? They're actually listening. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, real quick, you guys have to get your facts a little straight on the Black Bear Fire in Bullhead City. It didn't burn it to the ground.
No.
The fire was very similar to the one in Lake Havasu. I was on that scene, worked that fire. We didn't burn it to the ground.
Oh, okay.
The kitchen
fire.
Fire extended in some attic areas. We had to pull some ceiling and vent the roof. They chose to gut it out and rebuild it. But
we stood in the building.
Booths were in place. Everything was normal. There was a lot of smoke damage, heat damage, some water damage. Same kind of fire early in the morning, 0-200 in the morning. Started in the kitchen area. Heavy smoke and fire through the roof on arrival. But we didn't burn that thing to the ground. So, hey,
okay.
Facts, man.
No, I appreciate that. I'm the only one that brought it up. So
yeah, it's definitely
I remember it. No, yeah. I remember it. I just didn't realize that it didn't burn it out. But it was rebuilt after that. It never reopened in the other building. Am I right?
No, it took a long time. It took a while because they had to sit, obviously deal with their insurance adjusters.
Uh-huh.
They brought in outside consultants to determine cause and origin. There was a lot of things they were working on at the time.
Okay. Well, we appreciate the correction.
Yeah, yeah.
All
we
right.
just got to give credit. New Bullhead Fire did a great job on that fire.
All right.
Like I said, I was on the scene to work that fire, and We were standing in at the counter, kitchen counter, talking about the fire early in the morning after in the overhaul stage, a mop-up stage. So right. It didn't burn down at all.
All right, appreciate that. Appreciate the correction.
Very similar to the one you just had in Havasu.
It was a while back, so thank you very much for the phone call. Chief Pete, that guy's representing, you have to admit.
I don't know. I appreciate it. You know,
I appreciate the correction.
Yeah, you should be corrected, Paul.
Yeah.
Perhaps more often. I'm horrified.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Is that really a point of pride with firefighters?
No, absolutely. The thing is, and I wasn't here when that happened, but kudos to the Bullhead Fire. I mean, I know the chief and some of the firefighters. Absolutely. It's a sense of a pride, you know. And the thing is, if it didn't burn down, it didn't burn down. Yeah. And he's spot on.
See, now we're having to cover for Paul.
Yeah, I know, Paul.
Yeah.
I
mean,
you got a fat check.
This is horrifying.
Right. I got people asking me for phone numbers right now. They're like, you know, come on, you're on the air, man. You could do it all, right?
I think there's going to be litigation on
that. Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead. Chief Pete, that was just an interesting thing that caller brought up. It had never occurred to me before that would be a point of pride with a firefighter, that just if the perception was that it burned down, and it didn't because
they saved the building.
Because they saved the building.
Yeah. And the thing is, it is. And, I mean, kudos. I mean, it's about pride. And the thing is, it's just about getting the correct information out there.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's important. Is this data checking, fact checking?
Yeah.
Google.
Someone else is going to chew me a new one.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're live on Speak Out. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Paul Russ Mascari.
Russ, how are you, sir?
How are you doing? Excellent. Thank you very much. I just want to throw in a little plug for our memorial walkway and the first responders. We had a dedication ceremony with a section immediately directed in the first responders' honor. Ah. And I think anybody who's listening want to honor their favorite first responder and EMS person. By all means, it's a good time to purchase a paver for their favorite first responder, and if you do it by December 10th, it'll be included in our March 12th dedication ceremony. So,
all right,
just want to say thanks to the guys for their pride and hard work, and on our behalf, and a great way for the people to do it is get a paver, a memorial paver for their favorite first responder.
I think, you bring up a really good point, Russ, because I think Chief Pete should do one for Chief Doyle and vice versa.
Well, we already have tattoos.
Something like, thank you for being my friend, you know?
My only friend.
Thanks, Russ.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Russ.
The phone call.
Okay, bye.
All right.
Semper Fi, Russ.
Russ was amazing on Veterans Day. I actually got him 9:30 in the morning. He's across the street in the park. I had a cancellation for a guest. Went over, and he came over. Actually, he went home first, got notes printed out for both of us. Mm-hmm. He's really good at printing out copious notes. And then brought them, and we pulled off the Veterans Day show.
Yeah, Russ is a class act.
And you're both Marines, right?
Yeah.
Except he was a Marine in Korea.
Yeah.
And you weren't.
No, I wasn't.
You're not that old.
Well, and you know, you'd never, Russ, man, you'd think that he's 20 years old.
Oh,
he's
no.
He's running around doing everything.
I know how old Russ is. I'm not going to say it on the air, but it's amazing. And the car that he has.
Yes.
That
is
a classic.
Yes.
Talk about classic cars in great shape. So, Chief, let's get on a serious subject here about hit and runs. There's been a number of them, people striking pedestrians for whatever reason, the sun, you know, being at a bad angle. It seems like they're all happening in late afternoon, that kind of thing. But if people don't stop, and then you have a pedestrian that ends up, the one woman ended up in ICU, or one of them with several broken bones. There was a 12 or 14-year-old in the hospital.
Right.
Another one wasn't hurt very seriously at all. But this is, you have to stop. We have to impart that on people.
Yeah, well, so typically what we see with the hit and run is the majority of our hit and runs will be property damage. Late at night, run over a mailbox, back into a car.
Sideswipe a car.
And typically what those will end up being is either the person's DUI, they have a suspended driver's license, they have a warrant for their arrest. There's typically a specific reason that they're not stopping, because if you know, the sun is in your eyes and or you just don't see, or somebody steps out in front of you and you hit them and you stop, it's not something that you're going to be arrested for generally if it is an accident. And so there's really no reason to not stop. And just for the human side of it, if you've hit somebody,
render aid
you know, get our paramedics to them as quickly as possible rather than leaving them laying there in the street. So
does it, I'm sorry to interrupt, if you do render aid like that, you stop, does the county attorney look more favorably on that before charges are brought?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say because
every situation is different.
There's so many different variables in what happened, but I would definitely say you make your situation 1,000 times worse when you don't stop and you flee the scene. Obviously, if somebody's injured, you need to stop at least to render aid. But people, like I said, we deal with hit and runs. Or typically they're DUI, they have a warrant, they have a suspended driver's license, they don't have insurance. The normal person, you or I, if we accidentally clip a car or somebody stepped out in front of us and we hit them, the immediate reaction is we're stopping.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you know, I didn't see you and what have you. So when people aren't, there's another factor of why they're not stopping.
And it's 8 demerits after that.
Oh, it's
hit and run.
And it's
you're looking at
major
SR-22 and just maybe counseling, court costs.
Yep.
Just yeah,
and rightly
it can't
so.
It just can't be good.
No.
Leaving the scene of any accident.
No. And the good news is we get tremendous help from the community when we can identify a vehicle or a vehicle description. We get tons of leads of people keeping an eye out for the vehicle. So, and luckily the one with the juvenile, this was a person that lived out of town.
Oh,
and,
wow!
You know, big shout out and thank you to the sheriff's department also for assisting us with that.
So you see these crimes that are solved, you know, within the half hour or the hour on these crime shows and that, and usually by surveillance cameras that are privately owned on a home or possibly a business. How helpful is that now?
So the home systems, ever since they came out with the Ring, Simply Safe, and where it's so easy for people to put cameras up on the outsides of their homes and on the inside, huge help to us. Not only if your house gets burglarized, but what's been helpful is when we have a crime occur up a street, is we'll go down door to door down the street and in the area, and we'll look for people that have cameras, uninvolved people that have cameras, to see if we can see a vehicle leave in the area, and we've used that to help get vehicle descriptions and stuff. So it's a huge help to us to have that video, you know, be able to get that from private residences.
Working from the point of origin on out, right?
And that's we've used that in major cases, we've used that in minor cases, and it's a huge help.
Wow, interesting, Chief. You have a big announcement, Chief Pete. I should say,
yeah.
You have a big announcement about the program now at Lake Havasu High School, the CTE program.
Yeah, it's the Career Technical Education Program for Fire Service. We have a partnership with Unified School District and the City of Lake Havasu, specifically the Fire Department, that will be teaching the high school students about fire service and how to get into the fire service, their emergency medical service. Applications started coming out November 10th. They will close December 10th. You can actually, any parent that is listening to Speak Out or any student that listens to Paul, which would be interesting if they do.
wow. I would have never said that.
He thinks I can't multitask.
No, he can. But you know what? What's important is this is the future of Lake Havasu City's fire department, is to give the individual the opportunity to experience working side by side with our firefighters and understanding what we go through, what the job's all about, and giving them the opportunity to look at a career here and keeping them here in Havasu. That is the ultimate goal of this program. And, I mean, kudos to the high school and the WAVE program, CTE program, for allowing us this opportunity to start this with them. I can't tell you how proud I am of our department and our city to be doing this with them. So we start in January.
So how does this work? Is it part of an existing class? Do kids sign up for it?
So the kids will interview for it. They have to obviously have interest in it.
I say kids. It's actually young adults.
Young adults.
Yeah.
Right now we're taking senior and juniors. And what we're going to do is we're running a program in January. This will be part of their regular school schedule. So we're going to do it in the morning, two periods. We're going to do 50% at the school, 50% at station two, to giving them a practical aspect of, you know, what we do for firefighting. So it's just giving them that foundation and career path of this is what you're going to need to do. And then our main goal is to feed them into MCC.
So is this akin to a police ride-along kind of program?
It's more than just a ride-along program. This is actually teaching them about fire behavior, building construction, what we do for boat rescue, for airport. This is just giving them a overview of what the fire department does and the emergency medical aspect of it, too. So their EMT, how to get into paramedic school. So what this is providing them a career path. So if they're interested in it, this is where we're going to guide them. And then you go to MCC, get more education, and it gives them a start.
Do they get any sort of school credits?
Yeah, they're going to get school credit through the high school, and then hopefully we'll have the dual enrollment with MCC. So it's just giving them a path who has the passion to serve the public, serve the community here in Lake Havasu, and then I want to give them an opportunity to get into the fire service. We have the luxury of hiring 18 years of age to get onto the fire department. But I need them to have their EMT, their paramedic, and their firefighter too. And I want to help them guide them through. Our department wants to do this because I have a recruitment and I have the retirements coming in 2025.
I was going to say, this is a win-win for you. And you get to keep people that already have ownership in the community.
And here, it's a win-win for all of us in the city.
Right.
So I'm just glad that we had this opportunity. I'm very passionate about this because I've always wanted to do it. But I could not do this, hands down, without the firefighters. I tell you, they're the ones that are going to be doing it, and I really appreciate them. They're going to make this program successful. I support it. They're going to be doing it. So I can't do it without the firefighters that I have. And I have right now I have a group of 10 individuals that want to do it, and I support them 100%. The city supports. The school supports. This is great, a win-win for the community.
So, Chief Doyle, is the police department next in a similar program?
Yeah, we're giving applications to all the kids that go into the peace program.
You got officers standing at the door.
We're gonna poach high school students. Nice.
No,
nice.
It's so they have a criminal justice class at the high school, and then obviously they have criminal justice programs at ASU and the classes at MCC already. So what we do is, because you have to be 21 years old before you can be a police officer, we have our Explorer program that we train them in, that they can stay in until they're 21. And then we also will hire them in as part-time jailers and part-time positions within the PD to hold them, to give them a job, basic opportunity, until they can get to age 21. So, but that's a big thing for here in the city is we're a large city compared to the average city.
Largest in the county.
Yeah, but we're isolated. We're out here. We don't have a bedroom community. We don't have our best bet for all city employees is if we can hire from within for people that are vested and they're going to stay here, they're not going to leave or come here for a couple of years, and after we made the big investment, they're going to leave. That's our best bet. And
makes sense.
Luckily, we just hired a few more that grew up here, that are born and raised here. So that is our number one recruiting effort is to get...
They're not going to come here and take the job and go, oh, my God, I didn't know it was that hot.
That's across the board with the city.
Yeah.
We see that in the water department with a lot of our higher-level certifications is people will come in and they get that higher-level certification, then somebody else hires them, and then they leave. And we see that with fire, we see that with police, and we see that as soon as they get all those certifications, then
off they go.
They want to go off as opposed to somebody that has family here and has ties to the community. They don't
want to have their own roots here.
They want to stay here. They want to raise their kids here. They want to. So that's what we're looking for.
Have the programs at MCC and the high schools, have they produced members of the force?
Oh yeah.
So
yeah,
it actually does really work. And
yeah, ASU cool. and MCC both have great programs, and then the high school's criminal justice class is very, very good too. We've got a lot of interest out of that.
So one last ditch effort here. Holidays coming up. You're going to have checkpoints out and about.
We don't have DUI checkpoints, but we do have a lot of extra DUI enforcement. We're using funds from the Governor's Office of Highway Safety that we get grant money from to conduct additional traffic enforcement, which also includes DUI enforcement. Do not drink and drive. Get a designated driver and make your plans for how you're going to get to and from any bar or place you shall be drinking alcohol.
Sure. Yeah. Perfect. Go ahead, Chief.
And I just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe out there, smart cooking, and have a great time with the family.
All right, there you have it, Chief Doyle and Chief Palafis from the Lake Havasu Police and Fire Departments. Great to see you guys, Chief Dan and Chief Pete. And thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Paul.
Sorry, kind of in a rush.
Yeah, you're kicking us out.
Oh, you know, we only have so much time till the hard break at the top of the hour.
Got
so
President Biden on next.
All right. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Shame on you.
Veterans Day is November 11th, and Bradley Ford would like to recognize all of our veterans, current and past. Hi, this is Bill Cunier, and Bradley Ford is saluting veterans all month long. We're offering 0% financing for 60 months on all new F-150s, excluding Tremor and SVT models. This offer is for everyone and includes Bradley pricing all month long. Bradley Ford is getting more inventory every day, so it's a great time to visit the dealership or browse BradleyFord.com.
Hey, Jim, who's on Speak Out tomorrow?
Gee, I don't know.
Oh, that's because I have the schedule.
That's right.
That would be Hospice of Havasu. They're coming in along with Michael Smith from the Mojave County Department of Housing, talking about those housing vouchers and helping out with the expenses from COVID and that sort of thing. So we got a pretty busy week. We've got the Real Estate Power Hour on Wednesday and more on Thursday and Friday. Jim, thanks for being here.
My pleasure as always.
All right, we got to go. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.